Hello, everyone, and welcome to Space Junk, a weekly podcast dedicated to the amazing hobby of amateur astronomy. Each week, we'll bring you interesting and fun discussions with an eye towards providing you with the latest information and advice on the tools, gadgets, software, and techniques for maximizing your enjoyment of the night sky. Your hosts are Tony Darnell from deepastronomy.space and Dustin Gibson from OPT Telescopes, a world leader in telescopes and accessories.
Well,
oh yeah, I like to study. I still like to study a lot. So where I started, I have a very long passion in astronomy. Of course, I started when I was 15. I still remember my first view of the moon that I had from my house with a very small and creepy telescope. Right. But I still have in front of my eyes. Okay.
Did you say a small and creepy telescope?
Sorry, I did something wrong.
No.
No. Okay.
No. So you got your PhD in geology.
Yeah.
Was there any astro relation? Like, were you wanting to do geology of the moon?
Yeah, that's exactly what I try to study still now, but sure. Actually I really have no time to do that. I wrote a small book about geology of the moon. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have that passion. I think that this makes my astronomy with geology passion.
Sure.
Yeah. And it was... Okay.
I just want to say before we get too far, our guest today is Filippo Bradaschia, and he is the owner and founder of Prima Duce Labs in Venice, Italy. I just wanted to make sure we said that before we got too far into the rabbit hole.
Yeah, let's just dive right in, Filippo.
Yeah.
Welcome to OPT, first off.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited to be here.
Would you travel 6,000 miles?
Yeah, I should say you guys are together.
Drive. Yeah. It's a long drive. It's quite difficult to reach here with my car, but it's okay.
It is, yeah. So you hiked the whole way, right?
Yeah.
So all the way from Italy, Venice. Venice is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, Venice. It's a beautiful place.
I absolutely love Venice.
They have big problem with waters. They have to
it's kind of floating in water.
Yeah. And so, but it's a beautiful place, really. Especially if you go to Venice, you have to be sure to go to the small island that are all around Venice. Mm-hmm. You may find Burano, Murano. These are the places where all the people makes the glass. Mm-hmm. Oh, they are great. And you can see beautiful things over there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's also like the fashion capital of the world out there, right? Isn't
it? Yeah. Well, sometimes it's also Milan where they have the fashion.
Yeah.
But we are quite close to that. Is that part of Italy?
Yeah, because Milan is still northern Italy.
It's still north. Yeah. Right. We are in the part of Italy that is well known for very strong labor. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies that want to create new things. Southern part of Italy is well known for being a great place to have vacation, fun time.
Cultural centers, right?
Like cultural, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, unlike Tony here, I'm not much of a fashionista. This is what I wear every single day, right?
I look like you closely, actually.
Oh, you look good.
With a red shirt.
You look good, yeah. So anyway, a 6,000 mile journey for you to be here in the studio. Welcome. Glad to have you here
at OPT.
Thank
you very much. Thank you.
So,
it's good to have you on our podcast, too.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about Prima Luce Lab because this company, I mean, you guys are exploding. You're doing big things, especially with the Eagle, and you're doing radio astronomy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of this. So what got you into that? Because it really started with radio astronomy, right?
Yeah. Well, it was started with an idea. I remember to find myself in a star party, and I was hearing for someone else talking about how to get signal from a submarine. Okay.
Okay.
And this catched my attention, and I said, okay, maybe can we get radio wave from other object? I don't know.
Right.
So I started studying, reading books, and I found myself deeply in reading and studying this very technical book that were simply written for people studying. Okay.
Sure.
Students, universities, professional people.
Okay.
And then I said, okay, I like to do that, but can I buy a radio telescope? So I went to Amazon, I typed radio telescope, there was nothing. Then I Googled it, and there was nothing. Parts, there was someone that was trying to make something, but you can't really see the result. Okay, I was not able to see any result. Like now, you have a customer comes to you, you say, okay, look at this picture. This is this telescope. You can take this picture. Okay, that's very easy. They perfectly understand what they can do.
Sure.
In radio astronomy, was simply blank.
Right.
Okay, so there is nothing. So I said, maybe here we can do something in order to improve this thing. So I would like to create the radio telescope that you can buy as a normal telescope. And that was 11 years ago. So
wow.
A long time. Yeah.
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 They're beautiful telescopes. I've seen them. Yeah, they are beautiful telescopes. See them at the shows and when you bring them in. And they are something that people can use in a backyard.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's not what you think. Like, you know, I think okay. When people... Go ahead.
Hang on. This is blowing my mind here. You guys are building a radio telescope that just anyone can buy and operate from their own backyard.
Absolutely, yes.
I did not know. That is astonishing. That.
Yeah.
So what wavelengths are these telescopes designed for?
Actually, for the 21 centimeter is 1420 megahertz. And this is designed to work in this frequency because you get the best of sky transmission, okay? So you can work with the radio telescope also in cloudy conditions.
Yeah.
So daytime, as a normal radio telescope, also when it's cloudy,
right?
Okay? So we developed all the technologies that allow we to have a computerized mount but completely weatherproof. So you can install the radio telescope outside in your backyard. And you can simply listen for space, okay, anytime you want. Huh. Cover,
can you give
cloudy.
It to me? I could probably do the math, but not right now. Can you give it to me in wavelengths? Is it like submillimeter?
Centimeter. It's centimeter.
Okay, so yeah. Centimeter length. So you could conceivably then see objects at the center of our galaxy because of the wavelengths being allowed to go through the gas.
That's correct. Okay. Yep.
Wow.
With the radio telescope that we developed, we are able to make radio maps. I like to say, since I'm an astrophotographer, I like
sure.
to say that is radio astrophotography.
Right.
So this allow you to take a radio map, so a picture in radio wavelength of Taurus A in radio is M1.
Yeah.
So I was being able
right.
to make the
a
map. Yeah, that's right. That's perfect. And you have a lot of objects. You can measure the hydrogen line. You can really see the hydrogen line in real time. So you can detect that. And you can measure the Doppler effect of the hydrogen line. So there's a lot of things that you can really do with the radio telescope. This time with a kit, with a product that is an all-in-one. So you don't need to build parts or make
right.
it work. Try to. You just need to you install, and then it works.
Unbelievable.
Well, this is one of those times I really wish we weren't just an audio-only medium. I'd love to see a picture. Can you describe for us visually what this thing looks like?
Yeah, we have, when I say we produce radio telescopes that are compact,
mm-hmm.
it's compact.
Yeah.
It's not really compact.
Yeah, in quotes.
Okay?
In quotes.
And, we are starting from 2-meter diameter up to 5 meters, okay?
Is it a dish just an antenna array?
It's a dish. It's okay. a dish. This is...
So somewhere between 6 feet and, 15 feet.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
That's big.
15 feet. And this is the first part, because now we are developing all the technology that allow us to create an array of radio telescopes.
Yeah, wow.
So people will allow to start buying one and then add others. And this will synthesize a bigger antenna to have the same resolution that you have in astrophotography, for example.
Tony
so
is in Florida.
Tony's
interferometer right now. He just
I am. This
it.
Is well,
I can
this
tell.
Is something I can imagine people doing some really good science with. And of course, anything
right.
like that really gets me hyped. And I, imagine, folks, most of us who study astronomy know about things like the ALMA telescope in Chile. We know about the Very Large Array in Socorro, New Mexico. These are all groups of radio telescopes. And you're now, I'm sorry, but this is incredible to me. Now, this is something that can be brought to the average person.
That's for the first time available to public.
Yep. Oh, that's astonishing. And are people, I mean, are they selling well? Are you
we are selling and installing really worldwide. I have to be in Dubai in two weeks' time. I have to install another 5 meter in Scotland. I have to go to South Africa. We are really moving worldwide and meeting new people that start in radio astronomy and say, okay, I have an optical telescope, but I can't use that in daytime. Mm-hmm. And these are mostly universities.
And who cares about light pollution either?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, and we've developed also all the technology that are needed in order to use in front of your university. So you don't have to be in the desert in order to use that. Mm-hmm. You can use that in front of your house, technically. So it's quite easy to install, very easy to use. It has a nice software interface. So it's not too technical. If you want to study, you can do deep into radio astronomy and you can do science with that, of course. But it has everything that's been developed in order to be very easy.
Okay? Right. And so it's kind of, you're a problem-solving company, right? So 11 years ago, you see that this isn't available to the public, so you just make it. Yeah. And then you make it available to the public. And then you were telling me before we jumped on here that you found another problem that you solved by going, you said you drove 2 hours out into, because you have to go to the Alps, right? Just to do your imaging to get away from, you know, the city and the bad conditions. Yeah. So tell that story.
Oh, that was fun because I've been an astrophotographer from many years. Okay,
sure.
So I started 15. So I had all the, I stepped from the film astrophotography now to digital. Okay, so I have long experience on that.
Sure.
But what happened is that we had me and the designer of Prima Luce Lab, that is Omar Kaut. Mm-hmm. And we had a huge Rich Chrétien telescope with a huge mount. And we had two computers, table, seats, a tent, big, huge batteries, bunch of cable. And it was very difficult to install, to go in the field. We had to go up in the Alps 2 hours to reach a good quality sky. Okay, 2 hours to install everything. And one night we forgot one cable. Done.
Everybody's done it too.
Ah,
yeah, we've all been there.
I said, Omar, we have to improve this thing because it's not something that can happen. I mean, astronomy and most important, astrophotography is, I know that is not easy. And we have to improve this thing because now we are doing something that seems like impossible, not difficult. Okay.
Right.
So you can't simply drive the car 2 hours in the mountain, then spend 2 hours to prepare everything, and then nothing at all because one USB cable is missing or failing or whatever it happened.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, we need to change this thing. And this what happened, and from this, it was the Eagle. The Eagle was developed with this idea. You have your computer in your telescope, so with the cables always connected, solving a lot of problem, and you forget about your computer because you can control from your car, you can stay warm and the telescope is outside. You can stay in your house and the telescope is in your backyard. Yeah. And everything works.
So describe the Eagle then. What is the Eagle?
The Eagle is the first computer that is specifically developed for astrophotography. And it's not only a computer. So we embedded a powerful desktop class computer with a USB hub, with a power distribution system, with the dew heater controller, and everything is Wi-Fi operated. Okay? And all of this technology are included in one single box that you simply plug in your telescope and you convert any telescope into a remotely operated telescope.
Yeah, because it has, you can power cycle each independent USB, right? So if something were to get fidgety, you could just cycle the power to that. Yeah, and this is very, very small. I don't know that, you know, when you describe it, it's hard to, it's still like a computer, like I have to attach a computer to my telescope, but it's a very, very small box.
Yeah.
And so.
And it's red.
It looks good.
That's very important.
It looks good. It does. It's actually all the Prima Luce stuff, you know, that they definitely share that Italian design, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We take care really of the design of that. It's a matter of, I think when you have to design something, mm-hmm. It costs you the same money to do bad or very well designed.
Sure.
Okay, because you have to machine that something. So it's not a matter of cost of the of construction cost. It's a matter of keeping attention to every single small detail mm-hmm. that can make the difference to people.
Sure.
So having a great design lets you enjoy more your telescope, and this makes your hobby enjoyable even more. Why not?
So I have a couple of questions. So this is a computer that is designed to connect and interface with your telescope so that you can eliminate a lot of the cables and whatnot that a lot of all this equipment needs. What operating system does? Did you have to write an operating system, or what?
It has a Windows 10 Enterprise built in.
So it's a Windows machine.
Yeah, it's a Windows machine deeply integrated with a user interface that allows you to connect all your devices, turn on and off power, turn on and off USB, check for power consumption, check for battery life, check for remote connection. You check for everything, but you have your software that you like to have in order to make astrophotography. So you can install. Yeah, please.
I'm just thinking. So I can sit in my car with my laptop with a heater running, and I just connect via Wi-Fi, and then I run some software to control it. Is that how it works?
Any software you like. You may have the Sky Sequence Generator Pro, Prisma, anything that is already in the market. Okay. And you have it remotely.
I thought you were writing your own software. So it sounds
It runs Windows, right?
It runs Windows. So anything
that's Windows.
Yeah. It's like having, instead of having a laptop, you think about, you have a laptop right now, okay? So you forget about all the difficult parts of having a laptop in the field. You have to power it. You have a screen that can break in the cold condition. You have also a keyboard that can break in cold condition. And you have a problem with you in using the telescope. So you remove all these parts that we don't need for astronomy, and you put only your motherboard, deeply integrated with power ports, the USB hub, everything is one single box that goes into your telescope. And you will see the picture in real time on any smartphone, tablet, computer. I'm a Mac user, so I can't simply do astrophotography with my Mac.
Right.
There is a few software, driver.
Yeah, exactly.
How can you do? I have my laptop with me, mm-hmm. and then I open it, and I see the Eagle interface remotely.
Right. It's the same thing I do. So in my remote observatories, I have the Windows computers so that I can run ASCOM drivers.
Yeah.
But I use my Macs, as you can see right here, even for this, I'm using the Mac. I use my Macs to log into that.
There you go. So you mirror the desktop that you have in your Eagle, okay? And you mirror remotely wherever you are. I mean, you can be really in your house and your telescope is in your backyard. But this can be also a remotely operated via internet telescope. So it's very easy and it's all in one box. Easy to use and working, so you don't have to care to work on IT devices in order to make it work. It works.
It was a great idea, and we get called every single day. We get calls every single day about this product because you offer several different options.
Yeah,
you know, basically, it's like the how powerful is the computer is really what the different options are, right?
Yeah.
So you have less expensive ones if it's just something you don't need to be. For instance, if you're not going to do heavy processing on it, then you might not need the top end.
Yeah.
And you can save some money and get something that's just, it still has all the features.
Yeah.
But it's an incredible idea.
Well, the high-end Eagle are so powerful that there is people that looks at movies during picturing. So it's...
they're imaging, they watch movies.
So it's, why not? I mean, you can do that.
Wow.
Well, usually was born for the high-end models are most usually also for planetary imaging, where you need a lot of power and SSD storage to create these big video files. And it allows you to be very fast also in special application where you need a lot of power. Autofocusing with V-curve on many stars at the same time, plate solving. So the fastest model help you to get more for your time. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is that all the Eagle share the same features.
Right.
And you get also with the basic Eagle, the greatest feature of the top one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the basic version of the Eagle has enough power to run any astrophotography capturing software.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, this really was a great idea and great execution. I mean, your products are, I mean, they just, they feel good. Like taking them out, you can tell they're very, very well built. And I've never heard a complaint about one. And there there aren't many brands that can claim that, but I've never once heard a complaint about a Prima Luce product. And you have new products coming out.
We just presented the Esatto. It's the new Micromatic Focuser. We like joking with the names. Uh-huh. Okay, so we have the Eagle is the story. We have the most innovative product. We give the name of the spiders, of the lambs that landed on the moon. Okay, so the radio telescope is the spider. Okay. The computer is the Eagle. Mm-hmm. I don't think I will call the next one Snoopy because there's a Snoopy. I can really hard to imagine a product that astrophotography product called Snoopy, but maybe it's the next in line, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's we will do that. I don't know.
Hey.
And then we have funny naming on all the other product. We have the Sesto Senso motorized focuser, the Echo environmental control. Echo is there you go. Okay, is an optional accessory for the Eagle. The Eagle has plugs also for power ports, also for dew heaters. Okay,
yeah.
So with the Eagle, you forget about dew heater controllers. You have simply your dew heaters, and you connect your dew heater directly to the Eagle, so you can remotely control also your dew heater. Okay, mm-hmm. So the next step was okay, we have the control of the Eagle, and we want to automate the power.
Right.
Because maybe the environmental condition changes during the night and we need sometimes more power, sometimes less power. And people can't stay simply awake and look at what they want to do. They don't know even because you can't measure the air humidity with your hand. So So we developed this that is ECHO means environmental computerized controller. But Echo means also there you go in Italy because it works without you to do nothing at all. Mm-hmm. You just plug into the Eagle. It takes control. It calculates the dew point. Wow. And it takes control of the dew ports, of the dew heater ports in the Eagle and essentially controls the power automatically. So the telescope is not heated too much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have not too much power consumption. And you have no problem with your optics because if you heat too much your optics, you can get in trouble.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can reduce content or
you have create problem. A bigger problem than the one you're solving.
Yep. There right. you go. Yeah. So that was the Echo. And this is called Esatto. Esatto is an all-in-one micro focuser specifically designed for astrophotography. Esatto in Italian means precise, exact.
Okay.
Okay, that's okay. Esatto.
Sure.
And it's called this way because it has a precision. It's 0.04 microns per step.
Wow.
Okay, so it's very esatto.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is very esatto.
Very esatto. So... we are doing this in order to allow more people going remotely. You can have an Esatto focuser in any telescope with proper adapter that we mention. Okay, so whatever the telescope you own, you can have your adapter connect your Esatto. Okay, and you have a remotely controlled focuser that is technologically perfect, very good with very high performances, specifications, but affordable in price.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Always affordable to have something really beautiful to see, very good to use, that gives you an improvement of your telescope, but always affordable.
And this uses the Esatto uses a USB-C port, it looks like, right?
It has a USB-C to any USB port.
Oh, okay.
So you can connect. It has a USB-C because it's a very reliable port.
Right.
And it's very strong. Okay, that's what we need in order to go in the field mm-hmm. and be sure that it works. Okay, that's the first thing. But you connect it to any USB port. And it was also a Wi-Fi connection. So many people asked us,
oh, really?
Can I have, yeah, can I have an hand pad on that? And we say, okay, I don't want to make an hand pad. I think an hand pad is an old technology for this type of device. I want to do something more. So what we did is, when you connect Esatto, it starts its own Wi-Fi. You take your smartphone, you join its Wi-Fi, and you have a virtual hand pad. Mm-hmm. So you can change it, and it's like the magic of any smartphone. I mean, right. But you have the slider that allow you to move your Esatto without the computer.
Right.
So this is great with for visual people. Even you can save the position of the focuser where you have the focus for all your different eyepieces. I just press position one, position two, position three. So it's very easy. So it's designed for astrophotographer, but also great for visual people.
It's very innovative.
Thank you.
Very innovative.
Yeah, that's amazing. Be. I'm looking at it. The app is pretty
cool.
Don't
they? Their products look good, man.
Yeah, yeah. And you can see the temperature as well as the motor temperature, and you got three presets.
Of course.
That you can set for the night. And I just think that, you know, maybe different eyepieces for whatever reason or for a different camera.
Yep.
And yep. So that's just amazing looking. I didn't know it had its own Wi-Fi. That's awesome.
Oh, that's a brand new product. The story is that we finished machining and assembly last Friday. And I said to all my guys in the company, I said, hey, Gary, you have to move. I have to take the flight and I have to go to US and show this great product. So please hurry.
We just saw you at NEEF, right?
Yeah.
And so, we were out there. And I guess you and I, we met, 3 years ago?
Probably for
the first time?
3 years ago.
At the old building. And and then it's usually like once a year that we get to see each other. You're all over the world and then I'm always on the run as well.
We are very busy people.
Even in NEEF, you know, I probably came by 3 times just to say hi, and you two were so busy. I mean, you had customers everywhere, but I think this is the reason. These are innovative products.
Yeah.
And you know, Tony and I were just kind of all over the place with this podcast, actually talking to people about it. And but I think it's great that you're getting that kind of response to this.
Yeah, for us it's very important. I mean, having a direct relations with the users, it's very, very important. We are pushing this product at the edge of technology for astrophotography. Right. It is very important to have any type of feedback. We are astrophotographers. So essentially, when we develop our product, we think about, okay, I would like to do this thing. I miss this thing in the market, and I would like to have this particular product.
Yep, makes sense.
That's how we develop things. But having a direct contact with the people that really use and feel the product is important. It's really important. We can't simply develop a product that is perfect by the day one.
Sure.
So it's because you develop yourself, it's your baby, and you always see that you say, okay, this is the greatest focuser in the world.
Right.
Of course, it's my baby, but you need to have customers and people that say, okay, this is great. And this is, for me, the best thing. I see when they see, okay, oh, you are the funny guy in the video. Oh, I saw you. I use your product and it's great. This is all perfect. The NEEF was just like that.
Yes,
so
yes. So you liked NEEF. You had a good time.
Yeah. I was watching my watch at 8:30 in the a.m. and the next time I watched it was 4:30 p.m.
It flies by.
So really talking with a lot of people, very, very busy. So very good. Yeah.
Now, enjoy. Your website says that the Esatto will be available starting in June 2019. Is that still true? Okay.
Yes.
And Dustin, because I'm looking at their website, a lot of the prices are in euro. OPT is going to be selling all this stuff too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
And
this
those
is exciting.
Prices will be in US dollars.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. We just changed the currency and it's the same. And we will have also the 3 inches model available, most probably also in June. Okay. So we are already doing also a 3 inches model that fits better for your bigger Ricci Cartier telescope.
Well, you have one here today, right?
Don't we have two. No, it's these are the 2 inches
model. Okay, so you're training the staff today with the 2 inch model.
Yeah.
I saw them in there playing with it, and everybody's just fascinated by these products. But very cool, man. This is good stuff, and it really is extremely innovative. And the idea that you can, if you can eliminate something, you should. It makes perfect sense, whether it's cables or a hand controller or whatever it is. It's like the more you eliminate
one less wire.
One less thing you have to worry about not bringing with you or forgetting or it going bad and causing you to go halfway up the Alps and then, you know, not being able to do a night of imaging.
Yeah, that's exactly the philosophy behind everything that we do. We want to allow people buy any type of telescope and then take the most of it by using our stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can simply include the focuser, the eagle, and other things that I can disclose here, but we are having fun time developing more funny stuff over there. So it's
so when you come to the States, do you miss the food back home?
Yeah.
I think you have the best food in the world.
I
say yes. Maybe French people say no. We have the best food in the world.
No. I think Italy has it right.
Yeah.
And Italian wine as well. I think Italian wine.
Well, I miss my pasta.
Yeah.
But it's another way of you see it. But and then home is home. Yeah. So I miss my family. I travel a lot, really worldwide. So I miss my food. I miss my family. But this is the world. I mean, it's a whole world of possibilities. So there is someone that has to go to the world, and I am in the company.
Anytime we start talking about wine. I mean,
wine or grappa? Do you know grappa?
What is grappa? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know if it's translated with grape, but I don't think so. It's very powerful alcohol that we do in our part of Italy. I really don't know the English word, but if an Italian man invites you to drink a lot of grappa, take care of yourself.
Okay.
Be warned.
Yeah, don't drive. Don't drive, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, when I was in I was in Rome and then Venice for a bit, and we tried a lot of wines, but they had two that were memorable. So Tignaniello, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, and Sassicaia. Both of those were just phenomenal.
We have a lot of wines.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a matter of cultural, even a cultural identity. I don't know, but we have a very, very strong history on that. So it's
especially through Tuscany. It's like it's the heart of Tuscany is the wine.
Right? Tuscany, also my region.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, that far north?
Yeah. And you know, a funny thing is that I was the only, when I was studying geology, the geologists are well known to drink a lot of wine, especially red wine. But since then, I really had trouble with alcohol. I didn't like that. I had some, I don't know what, but now I like to drink some grappa.
So now you drink the grappa.
Yeah, it's not a problem. But since then, I was the only one that really drove people back at home.
Oh, man.
The entire university with me, my car, with more travels.
Did you bring any grappa today?
No,
Let's dig into this. Okay. Right. I want to see what grappa is. I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I need to try that too.
Take care.
Just be careful. I had a very dear friend, or I still have. He's still a very dear friend named Roberto. He was from Florence, and his thing was bread. He had a strain of yeast that was in his family. He took bread very, very seriously, and he could not eat the bread here. It was just unpalatable. He could not even put it in his mouth.
Just
here.
Upsetting.
Yeah, it was just. But his bread wasn't. I mean, I'll tell you, it was very, very good. But he had a strain of yeast that's been in his family for apparently generations, and they take very good care of it. And so the Italians know food and wine like no other people. Oh, you know, it's amazing.
It's the best food in the world. Yeah. It really is. It's the best food in the world. I love it.
And that's the problem when I travel, because when I travel, I really miss my food, and I can't simply go to an Italian restaurant. Here, but everywhere, it's no way.
So you didn't think the dollar hot dog or the dollar slice pizza in New York was
no, equal? not the same thing, really.
Well, that's true.
yeah. So, but I like taste all the other food all around the world. So I'm
right.
Don't worry, I have a big stomach in front of me.
Okay.
So you can't see me, but I am. And so so I know how to survive in when there is a crisis or something like that. I know how to survive.
Yeah. You know, I eat vegetarian 95% of the time. I don't eat meat, but you know, when we were in New York, I had to break that rule because I had to try the dollar slice pizza and I had to try the hot dog. Everybody's like, you got to have a New York hot dog. And, you know, I've heard that so many times. And even we were there with the documentary director, Steven Swancoat, and he's like, oh, man, these are the best hot dogs in the world. And honestly, Tony, they weren't lying.
Yeah.
Those hot dogs were good.
Hey, I know.
I mean, that's why I wanted hot dogs.
I told Steven specifically, I need two things. I need a hot dog and I need a slice of pizza while I'm here. Yeah. And that's, yeah, there's you. They're really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. as far as good hot dogs can go, right? But yeah.
It's not like Italian.
That's not what you eat in Italy.
No. Well, we in the Neve. We had an Italian coffee machine.
I saw that. Was that yours?
Yeah. And we were, well, it's, you know, I made, I don't know how many coffees I made, but
you brought the coffee.
A lot. Yeah. We had an Italian coffee machine.
That's another thing.
Italian coffee. That. Yeah, it was great. I think 3 weeks ago, I called Illy Coffee.
Yeah.
Is a brand of Italian coffee. They are very close to my city.
Yeah, that's huge.
Okay?
That's huge there.
So I called them and I said, hey, we are going to have the biggest and the most important trade show, astronomy trade show in the world. Mm-hmm. We want to bring the Italian way, the Italian technology, the Italian design, and I want to bring the Italian espresso over there. So give me a machine and I will do the espresso for all the astrophotographers that we need to keep awake during the night. Okay?
Yeah.
So they shipped me. So it was great. Yeah.
Very funny. Everybody. So everybody was posting pictures on Facebook and Instagram of them drinking Italian.
Oh, there you
coffee.
Go.
I figured that was you.
You know where you come
like
from.
You seem like the guy that would do that all the way from Italy.
Yeah.
I should have known, man.
With red caps, everything was red.
Of course it
was. The coffee machine was red. The caps were red. Everything was perfectly red.
So you're better at that than me. Like I feel very proud of myself if I just remember to like wear clothes in general. Like if I show up and I've got clothes on, it doesn't matter if they match or it doesn't matter. Like if I remember to put shoes on, I'm proud of myself.
Well, we're all grateful that you remember to wear clothes. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's not
Thank
my
you
strong
very much.
Suit. It's not my strong suit. You know, back when I was personal training, I used to have clients that'd be like, oh God, you can't train me. Like, you know, I'd be in gym shorts and then like slippers and they'd be like, you got to go home and change. Like, this is embarrassing to stand next to you, you know, but hey, you know, I've grown a little bit, you know, now I've got the sweatpants and it works. And at Neve, man, I dressed up. I was in jeans.
Yeah.
I wore jeans. Yeah,
he was styling.
He's incredible.
I was proud of myself, you know? Okay.
He was styling.
Very good.
Styling. Yeah. This guy's got everything matching, man. You see Filippo, this guy, you can tell.
Of course. I can imagine.
He looks like he came straight from Milan.
Yeah.
Or Milano, right?
Milano. There you go. Milano.
Okay. Well. So are you in the country for much longer or are you heading back soon?
Oh, I'm moving to the Bay Area.
Oh, you're moving here?
This night. Yeah. This night I have to move to the Bay Area and then I will fly back to Italy in 2 days. I have to make this big installation of the radio telescopes in the next few weeks. So I will be quite busy.
Yeah.
Do you find that you're...
When are you back in the United States?
Oh, we will be for sure for the AIC. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a lot of very good things about the Texas Star Party.
Right.
But it's going to be
it's a big
now.
One. Yeah.
I think so. And then I will be... I think I will be around June or July. I have to be there to meet the VLA people that they have a spider radio telescope over there. We installed the radio telescope over there and I have to train them. I mean, I'm not training the VLA radio astronomers.
Right.
they have to train me, but there is some professor in the university and they are making this radio astronomy course.
Yep.
With the radio telescope, and I have to to go there and train them and work with them. So,
you know, we've been looking at different cities. So we're doing telescopes on tour where we're doing, like, you know, we had telescopes in Times Square. Yeah. So we're doing that in a big way in October. And this was just the proof of concept, kind of to show the city that, for one, they didn't need to arrest me and Stephen Swancoat every time we go to New York. And secondly, that nobody would get hurt. And lastly, to prove that it could be done. Yeah. A lot of people doubted that you could shoot through that kind of light pollution and get an image. And this proved that you can. Yeah. And so now we are going to be doing this around the world in different cities. I'm headed to Sydney, Australia. We're doing it in San Francisco with Rogelio Bernal-Andreo. And then back to Times Square in October. But we've been considering Italy and whether it'd be better to go to Venice or Rome.
You just need to avoid installing a telescope on a gondola.
Right.
You know, it may be moving too fast and too far.
I'm worried about the weather in Venice. It seems so unpredictable.
It is. Well, you know, it's Italy is protected by the Alps in the north part. Mm-hmm. And we have the sea all around of Italy. So it's a good weather. But the problem is the humidity.
Sure.
So sometimes the humidity is so high that it seems like you are in the middle of the clouds and there's nothing you can do. That you have to go in the mountains, you just pass the humidity level.
Right.
And the sky is beautiful over there. It's incredible. But if you are in the places like Venice that you may get a lot of humidity condition, yeah.
If only there were a device that could measure that for me, the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
don't let me think about something. Okay, we can do this. What's the name of that?
Right.
Don't tell Snoopy.
Mm-hmm. Is that what's next? You're going to do Snoopy?
No.
Yeah.
We will just pass that.
No, I think I'll be disappointed if you do. I think you got to. You got to look. It was already set for you. This is fate. Right?
Yeah.
This is fate. You got to do it now. Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. You may find in the next year catalog.
Yeah. So after all these installations, and I mean, you have so many products going on, and you have representation here in the United States, and you're all over the world now.
Yeah, actually, yes.
So is that what's next? Are you going heavy in the direction of amateur astrophotography, or are you staying more the direction of radio telescopes, or both? Or
we're both, actually. Both. We are two companies in one, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one part of the companies that is developing instruments and product for radio astronomy.
Sure.
The other part of the company is developing product for mostly astrophotography.
Right.
I'm an astrophotographer by passion, so I am the one that usually has the idea and then goes to the designer and said, hey, Omar, you have to design this for me. So I give him the problem to solve, and he always get crazy because it's, oh, no, another time.
Right. Yeah.
But we can do that. Yes, of course. Why not?
So what does it cost if somebody wants to get into, say, radio astronomy? Yeah. What are they looking at to get into that?
Well, we have actually three packages. Mm-hmm. So you have to consider that every package comes with the antenna, the mount, the peer, the receiver, the software.
Right.
So it's not like buying a telescope.
Sure.
It's like buying an observatory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have it all. Okay. And the package starts at 20,000 for the 2.3 meter, 30,000 for the 3 meter, and 60,000 for the 5 meter.
I would have thought it would have been more expensive than that.
Everything. Yeah, that's what usually people tells me.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been a lot more, especially for 5 meter.
Oh, 5 meter is a huge machine.
Yeah, that is.
It's 1 ton. Uh-huh. And
wow, it's a ton.
Yeah.
Weighs 2,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big machine. It's beautiful. If you put yourself on the antenna, it will lift you up.
Really?
Yeah, because we developed all the mounts. The mount has to be weatherproof. The problem is that you can't have simply a dome that covers it. There's no way to do that. It would cost too much, okay? So we developed proper mounts, Altaz mounts, computerized, okay, where you have essentially all the parts of the mount are completely weatherproof. So you can leave that outside, okay, and you remotely control from your house, laboratory, universities, whatever.
Yeah, I guess there's no reason for it to be equatorial.
Yeah, there is no. Right. For radio astronomy, for there radio, is no. Yeah. No, because in radio telescope, we you have two LNA systems that are your detectors. It's like having a camera, okay?
Sure.
And you can analyze the polarization of your waves. Okay, so there is really no reason to have an equatorial.
You're not
going to
have any rotation.
No,
so,
no,
yeah,
no. It's no. Too, the resolution, the spatial resolution is low.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why we developed the technology of the arrays in order to increase the spatial resolution. So it's this is what is going to happen. We will have very fun time with the radio telescope.
And it works at a specific frequency at a time, or do you have many channels that can be ready?
We have many channels. We have two different level of power. The basic step is 1,024 channels in 50 megahertz of bandwidth. So you take the bandwidth that is centered at 1420 megahertz, and you record 25 megahertz less and 25 megahertz more, okay? And that slide of the radio wave, you divide into 1,024 channels.
Got it. Okay.
And this will allow you to essentially do two things. The first is that you can see a radio interferences. That is, appears as only one line on one channel, because the interference is an artificial signal that is very precise. It has only one channel usually. So you can simply remove that from your recording.
Sure.
And the other thing that you can measure is the hydrogen line, as I showed, I told
right.
you.
And so these are completely weatherproof.
Yep.
You can just leave it out in the rain and it's fine.
Don't worry.
Heat, cold.
Heat, cold, no problem. This is for the 3 meter and 2 point, the 5 meter. And then we have a smaller one that is great for people that want to, they are amateur astronomers, they want to do something different. So
sure.
we developed a radio telescope using any equatorial mount, ASCOM powered, so with an ASCOM driver, okay, you need to have 100 pounds payload capacity.
Okay.
So it's still a reasonable mount.
And what size is that?
This for the 2.3 meters.
Okay, 2.3. And
but
you sell
get
that separately.
The same receiver that you have in the big radio telescope, the
sure.
same basic technology, so you can use your mount. Is a radio telescope in daytime.
And that
and
one
mount
costs 20,000.
20,000. With the mount. So see, if you already have, you reduce the price of the mount. So we are talking something about 15,000.
Right, sure. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, this is really great.
So this, we are trying to merge our passion of astronomy passion with something that is more science with the radio astronomy. But we are all astrophotographers. I mean, that's why we develop all the Eagle, the Sesto Senso, the Echo, the Esatto, all the products that allow you to make astrophotography more easily. So that's why we have two catalogs even. One is the Prima Luce Lab catalog that is astrophotography. And the radio astronomy catalog is named Radio to Space. That is the name, the brand that we are developing for the radio telescopes.
Right. If you go to the website, you can see up top there, it has, you know, what do you want to see, astronomy or do you want to see radio astronomy?
Yeah.
And when you click on radio
there
astronomy,
you go to
radiotospace.com. So that's where
there
all this
you
stuff
go.
Is. Yeah.
That's the Prima Luce Lab project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really, so it says also for satellite communication. Can you do that with these as well?
Yep.
So they have,
yep.
they
yeah,
have
yeah.
high slew rates then?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. And we are developing a lot of new technologies in order to apply the radio telescope and track rockets and track satellites and use the radio telescope not only as a radio astronomy product, but also as a ground station. And we presented this idea to the Spacecom in December. We went to Houston. There's the big NASA event over there.
Right.
And we presented this idea. It was very well welcomed because it makes these type of things affordable in use, in price, whatever.
And I wonder, would it work on the frequencies of, say, some of the telemetry satellites that are up there?
Oh, they change. Yeah, that's in fact, we have, you can see in the website, there are the Spider radio telescope that are for radio astronomy for 1420 meters.
Uh-huh.
And there are the Intrepid. I forgot to tell you. Intrepid it's another name of the lens.
Yeah.
Intrepid is the radio telescope for satellite communication.
Okay, so.
Yeah. For a different frequency.
So I'm just wondering, though, is it possible with these, with the Intrepid? I mean, NASA operates the Deep Space Network, and they have, you know, the telemetry. These may not be powerful enough to get any signal. I don't know. But is it possible to maybe get into something like TDRS, where they, you know, it's basically NASA's space internet, where they use all of the, yeah, the communication with the rovers and the communication with, you know, space telescopes and things like that?
Exactly. We made some calculation on that. Actually, we are developing this project, so it's still something. The radio astronomy product are working in the field. There is people using that, collecting data and making real world astronomy. The Spider the Intrepid is something that we are developing now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's a brand new, but based on our calculation, we estimate that we can reach even the Mars distance with the 5 meter. So, and with the 3 meter, we could technically get data from any probe that you can send to the moon.
That is,
why not?
Do you realize what a game changer that is, Filippo? I mean, that is like amazing. It's amazing to think about the fact that you can get these data yourself, or possibly.
Well, there is actually people that is sending small CubeSat in orbit to make their own science.
Well, I think we know about
it. Will need is how can you get data from this type of... So you could have also your personal radio telescope instead of trying to use other infrastructures in order to collect your data.
Wow. I'm just sitting here thinking about the possibilities. That's really astonishing. Wow, that's really great.
Yeah, you got to love the innovation.
Yeah, kidding. I mean, these guys are taking it to a different level for sure.
Well, we have to make that. There is no other choice. I mean, it's when we talk, we develop all these new products. Again, I try to say to all my guys that we have to do that perfect. Mm-hmm. There is no compromise on technologically level, on quality, on user interface. We try to push ourselves to the limit. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can do that in the right way. Maybe sometimes we can fail that. Sometimes we try. But the idea is we want to bring the latest astronomy technology to any person. Any person that does not to be a professional. Mm-hmm.
So is that why you do the videos? I got to tell you, staff here loves your videos. They love your videos. They're watching them all the time.
Yeah.
So it looks like you have fun with that.
It's a way to bring these technologies and say, okay, we are having fun with that. It's not astrophotography, especially, is not a boring thing that strange people that look or take picture of the sky and what they are doing there alone in the mountain. Oh, what they are doing. Have I to be scared of going with them? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know this guy. I'm not going out there with it.
Yeah. So we want to offer something that is great, but is also fun to use. And that's why I really enjoy to make my videos.
Well, just a quick question on this. You have, in addition to the Esato, you also have another focuser, the Sesto Senso.
Yeah.
How is that different?
The Sesto Senso. Oh, the Esato is a complete focuser. So it's a focuser with motor, with computerized control. It's a built-in unit, all-in-one unit. Okay. The Sesto Senso is the motorized focus. Sorry, how in English? Oh, that's getting bad in my English. it's only the motor, essentially.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So if you have a great focuser, there are a lot in the market, very, very well machined, very focuser. They are very precise, and maybe you want to motorize that.
So, like a feather touch focuser,
there you go.
Or something like that.
Yes. Ah, feather touch is wonderful. It's a wonderful focuser.
Right,
you
absolutely
connect the Sesto Senso motor, and you motorize that.
Right.
But if you have not a great focuser, or think about all the telescopes, that the big Cassegrain telescope, right. They need a motorized focuser on the back, or this mid
Cassegrain. So that you can just lock the mirror and put a focuser there on the back, and then you don't have mirror shift and all those issues. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's great. I have an Edge HD, actually, and last year I was telling Omar, hey, we missed the motorized focuser because I want to use the reducer. I have the 9.25 model, I was just receiving the new reducer, and I said, what have I to use? I can't simply connect the sesto sensor on the back of that because the internal focuser has too much backlash. So it's not good for astrophotography. I want to have a focuser that. So I went to Omar and I said, hey, Omar, just make a focuser for me. Thank you very much. That's all. I'm the CEO.
I want an Omar. How do I get an Omar? I want one of those.
Yeah.
Next time I will bring Omar. I will put into a suitcase and he will be with me.
Yes, Omar, I need you to go invent this for me. All right. Well, based on what Dustin says, you guys are hitting everything out of the park as far as the quality and the customer satisfaction with these products. So well done. Well done.
Well, we hope so. I mean, this is the goal. We can't be perfect, of course. Anyone is perfect. But we want to really provide the feeling that you have a great instrument over there.
Yeah.
And it has to look wonderful, and you have to enjoy to use that. This is what.
Well, I think that's the reason your booth at NEEF. I didn't even get to say hi when we were there. Yeah. I think
busy.
In passing, I was just like, "Hey, Filippo,
you missed the coffee also."
Oh, I didn't get any.
Oh,
you didn't bring it here.
So
you brought it to New York.
Hey, bring here the coffee machine, please.
Yeah,
it was busy there. I walked past it several times, and there was just swamped all the time. So
that's good though.
It's okay.
That's why you go
are here talking to people.
And that's why you needed coffee.
I mean, a lot of them.
At least. Well, next time, definitely, if you're going to bring the coffee machine 3,000 miles, might as well bring it 6. Just
of
bring
course.
It out here too.
Not a problem at all.
Right.
Next step, Hawaii, then Japan, and then on the other side. That's
there
okay.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay. Anything else, guys?
I don't know. You know that I like to talk, so you can I can stay here if you like. I have only a flight to take later today, but it's okay. Bring me something to drink. I have it here.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Well, enjoy your time there at OPT. Those guys, the place must be. All I hear are glooming reports of the building there and the staff. I've met a couple, I've met Ian and Dustin, but I've worked electronically with several others, so I look forward to actually going there someday. So enjoy your time there. I guess.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank you for being on our podcast. Our guest today was Filippo Bradaschia. He is from Prima.
There you go.
Did it. Did it at the end.
Yeah.
He is the president and founder of Prima Luce. And he he's taken some time out from his travels to tell us all about his company. And you got to check out the website. And if you care anything about amateur or radio astronomy, folks, you definitely should check out their radio astronomy telescopes. I'm living on this website right now. So thanks for introducing all of that to us. I also want to let our listeners know that we will soon be having our own website. It's spacejunkpodcast.com. It's being set up now, but we want to offer ways for you to interact with us some more and let us know what you think of the episodes, leave some comments, and maybe give us some ideas and suggestions for what you'd like to see in upcoming podcasts. So take a look out for that. In the meantime, feel free to email me at hangouts@deepastronomy.com, and I'll get those emails too. So please reach out to us if you have any questions or ideas for future episodes. Okay, well, on behalf of Dustin Gibson of OPT Telescopes, I'm Tony Darnell from deepastronomy.space. I want to thank you all so much for listening. And as always, keep looking up. Space Junk was produced by OPT Telescopes in Carlsbad, California, in partnership with Deep Astronomy. Please send feedback and questions to spacejunk@deepastronomy.com.